This is What Matters Most, and I'm Matt Popovitz. Look, life is crazier than ever, and lots of people, maybe even you, are feeling anxious and overwhelmed. Today's message is designed to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. Because life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I'd like to give you a resource, something to help you navigate the road ahead. Just go to mattpopovitz.com, click on the icon, and we'll send it to you. That's mattpopovitz.com. And hey, if you happen to live in the Houston area, I'd love to see you on a Sunday morning at St. Mark in Spring Branch. Head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. Here's today's message. Thanks for listening.
And this morning we are starting a new teaching series called The Christian Citizen. Actually, this series is not about politics per se, but it's about how our faith informs and influences our public life. You know, you have many callings in this life. All of us have many callings in this life. You may have the calling of parent, employee, of sibling, of roommate, but you also have the God-given calling as citizen. A citizen of this city, of this country, of this world. And that calling, like all others, carries with it certain responsibilities. And what we're going to talk about in this series is how, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your faith shapes some of those citizen responsibilities that we all bear, whether we like it or not. The Feast of the Ascension is a holiday in the Christian church that happens 39 days after Easter. And it marks the moment where the resurrected flesh and blood Jesus ascended into heaven. And followers of Jesus has been mesmerized by this idea of Jesus ascending into heaven since the day it happened. For centuries, the celebration of the Ascension was a massive deal for followers of Jesus Christ. And I'm a bit surprised that we aren't still making a big deal out of it in this world for two reasons. As human beings, one, we love a coronation. We are drawn to, and we are enthralled by the idea of a person ascending to a position of power. But why do you think we're all so emotionally invested in our current politics? It's about watching someone ascend to a place of power. Secondly, the fact that Jesus Christ is ruling over all things as king has profound implications on our lives. In particular, how we live in this city, in this country, in this world. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, how the ascension of Jesus Christ shapes our view, our attitude, our heart, our mindset as citizens of the world. Let me dive right in. So first, the fact that Christ is resurrected, ascended into heaven, and ruling over all of us should bring a bit of peace to our politics, whatever your politics are. Luke chapter 24. This is the description of Jesus' ascension in Luke's gospel. It says this, "Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, led them out of Jerusalem to a town called Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven." He ascends into heaven. "And they," the disciples, "worshipped him," and this is the critical part, "and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God." Now, a little bit of context helps us understand why this is important. At this particular point in history, the disciples, as citizens of Jerusalem, had very little to be excited about. They were persecuted. I mean, think about it. Their leader, Jesus, had just been murdered by the Roman occupiers. They were a minority. There was maybe 100, 150 dedicated followers of Jesus in a city of roughly 50,000. And their message of offensively free grace, that God just forgives whoever needs forgiveness, which is everybody, by the way, that God just forgives people liberally all over the place, and it's available now to everybody through the cross, that message was countercultural to a religious institution that said, no, God doesn't just forgive, you got to show yourself worthy of forgiveness. But they had very little to be excited about as they go back into Jerusalem. Yet Luke tells us that after seeing Jesus ascend to his throne and bear his crown as king of the universe, they returned to Jerusalem where citizenship was rough with what? What word does Luke use? With joy. They go back to Jerusalem with joy. And the reason is this. It's because immediately the implications of Jesus Christ as king of all things hit home for them. The same Jesus who loved them, who lived with them, who gave his life for them, who rose from the grave for them, was now in the ultimate position of power over all of them. Imagine for a moment if your brother or sister was elected president of the United States. Now, just get over the fact that your brother or sister may have some special issues. I get that. Same is true in my family. But just imagine for a moment that despite all those special issues, your sibling, someone that knows you really well, who loves you a lot, is suddenly the most powerful woman or man in the world. Things could be going bad in your life, but you've always got this truth to rely on. I could always call my brother. I could always call my sister, because they have power. The disciples knew that as they headed back into Jerusalem, their life was not going to be easy. But they knew that no matter the craziness around them, Jesus was above them in flesh and blood, above them, working for them, and that things were guaranteed in the very end to be okay for them. You know, followers of Jesus today still believe that he is in flesh and blood ruling on his throne in heaven, that he is actively reigning and ruling as king right now, which is why we sing songs to that effect. We believe that he is reigning and ruling through his local church. Everywhere there's a church like this, Jesus is reigning and ruling. He's reigning and ruling through his word, where he draws people to himself and he creates faith. He's reigning and ruling through his sacrament, which we'll receive later, where he's giving people forgiveness and letting them taste the kingdom. He's reigning and ruling through his church. But he's also, and this is the part that kind of blows our mind as we watch the craziness of the news, he is also reigning and ruling through governments, through community boards in New York City, through parliaments and presidents. Now, what I'm not saying here is that Jesus is somehow determining and manipulating every single thing that happens in our government. No, he gives us freedom to make the good and bad choices we are prone to making. What I am saying is that no matter in the very end who we elect or what we choose to do, it's still his world, it's his playground, he's in charge, and he's going to make sure, like somebody trying to herd cats, that eventually it all gets to where he's wanting to go. And much like we saw in his cross, the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died for the sins of the world, what we saw on the cross was God using our own evil, killing Christ, for our own good, saving us. Jesus is the kind of king who will make sure that even our darkest of days and our dumbest decisions still work towards his will of loving his world. Why? Because it's Christ's kingdom. We just play in it. Are you tracking with me? And when you grasp that, it should instill just a little bit of peace into our life as citizens of this world. And I would argue, without getting too political, that maybe a little bit of peace is needed right now. You watch the same news that I do. Our country just seems a little bit frustrated. Our mom needs to put us down for a nap. And there's good reason, I think. You know, I would argue, and this is me stepping off of my platform of pastor and me as kind of stepping on my own platform just for a moment as Matt. Our political parties have left many of us feeling like the children of perpetually divorcing parents. These two parties, these two parents are fighting all the time, and they're each coming to us trying to turn us against the other one. And they're always making promises and constantly breaking them. And then they get mad when we grow up to reject both of them and embrace some extreme. That's understandable. But people of faith, we get to live in Jerusalem with joy. Because no matter what, Jesus Christ, our brother in flesh and blood, is on the throne. It instills just a little bit of peace into our politics.
I hope you're enjoying today's message. For more of what matters most, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. There you'll find other messages. You can support this ministry as well as access your free gift. Oh, and if you're looking for a local church and you live in Houston, come and see what's happening at St. Mark Houston. To plan your visit, head to stmarkhouston.org. Thanks for listening, and back to today's message.
The second thing that the ascension of Christ does is that the ascension of Christ in the heart of the follower of Christ, not in the heart of anybody else, but in the heart of the follower of Christ, gives priority to God's will. Gives priority to God's will. Listen to what Paul says in the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, it says this. Seek the things that are above where Christ is. In other words, be focused on the fact that he is king of the world, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, Paul says that we are to keep our attention and our focus on Jesus Christ the King. And we should focus on things as we go through our daily lives. We should not be disengaged from the world around us, not at all. But he's saying that a portion of our heart should be focused on things that matter to Jesus. And it makes sense. If Christ is king of everything, then his will and his plans and his words and his values are not just good ideas. They are divine decrees that demand attention. And this is important. It's important because sometimes, as Jesus Christ is reigning and ruling in this world, reigning and ruling through the church and reigning and ruling through all the different strange forms of government that he allows to be set up, as he's reigning and ruling in this world through us in our callings and through other people in their callings, it'll become clear that we or others at certain times are out of step with the king's will. That I, in my calling, or you in yours, or some elected official in theirs, that they're doing something that's just wrong. And we come to that realization a lot about ourselves and about others. And our task as those who believe that Jesus Christ is King, when we feel or we sense that something in us or in someone else is at odds with the King, what we do is we defer to who? We defer to the King. We give priority to his will and his desires and his values over and above our own and over and above others. Let me give you an example of this. There was a famous pastor named Hugh Lattimore. You probably haven't heard of him, but he was famous, trust me. Hugh Lattimore, he was a high-ranking pastor, a bishop, in 16th century England. And it was a time of great political and religious unrest. And one day in his church, he found that he was preaching for King Henry VIII. So he gets up to preach and he sees that King Henry VIII is sitting in the pews. And Henry VIII, if you watch the History Channel, you know, was kind of notorious for punishing people that he didn't agree with. And so Latimer later wrote that when he saw that Henry VIII was sitting in his church and he was there to preach the law of God and the gospel, the full forgiveness of God, he instantly said to himself, Latimer, Latimer, remember that the king is here. Be careful what you say, right? But then he was immediately convicted and it hit him. He said, oh, that's not how it works. And so he reminded himself of this truth and he said, Latimer, Latimer, remember that the King of Kings is here. Be careful what you choose not to say. For Latimer, if the choice came between pleasing the ears of King Henry or obeying the will of King Jesus, who was going to win for him? Jesus was going to win. Every time. And here's what this looks like. Practical matters. when we are the ones in our callings in public life who are out of step with God's design. And it happens often as a parent, as a boss, as a student, as a board member, as a pastor. We realize, well, I'm out of step with what I believe to be the King of the Universe's design for all things. We confess. And that's something that is in short supply in today's world. Confessing to others that you have done wrong. But people of faith, knowing we're accountable to a king, we confess when we are the ones who are out of step. We say to those that are depending on us, guys, I'm sorry, I've done something wrong here. And then to our king, privately, we repent. And repentance means we turn from that wrong thing and we fall upon the mercy and the grace of Jesus. That's what we do. That's what it means to believe that Jesus' will is priority over your own. When you realize you're out of step with it, you confess publicly, you repent and receive mercy and grace privately. That's what people of faith do. And when someone else is out of step with the king's will, we speak up. But here's how we speak up. People of faith are called to be people of love and peace. They're not called to be silent, but they are called to speak. But when we speak respectfully. We speak humbly. We speak clearly. Think of Dr. King's letters from a Birmingham jail. Clear, bold, but humble and driven by the convictions of his faith. Say it in a way that would make your mama proud because it's true. And happy because it's nice. I believe that this is inappropriate, or that's not right, or that this is unfair, and insist on those around you doing their God-given job according to a higher standard. That's what we do. Now, I'm not going to say that that's easy. But the good news is that a good king doesn't send his people out to do a tough job without supplies. And we have a good king. And so Jesus promises power for his people. Look at how Mark in his gospel describes the ascension of Jesus. It's interesting. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And they, the disciples, went out and preached everywhere. This is interesting. While the Lord worked with them. But I thought he'd just gone up into heaven. Oh, but here's how it goes. The Christ who reigns on the throne does not leave you alone. Christ who reigns on the throne promises to give power to you and work with you and to work through you. Jesus sends his disciples out to live as citizens of the world, in particular to share his message of mercy. And Mark doesn't say, and somehow they figured it out. It says that Jesus Christ worked with them. And that promise remains true for you. I know you don't think it does, but that promise remains true for you. That Jesus Christ, King of the universe, gives you power to live the life that he's called you to. He gives you power to live that task faithfully. Now the thing is that Jesus gives a very particular and mysterious kind of power. And it's the power of faith. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises to supply you with the power of faith. And the power of faith is this. As you live your life, it's the power to believe that you are forgiven despite your brokenness. It's the power to trust in his goodness despite the mess around you. And the power to see that he is reigning and ruling over all things, even though it's a mess in this world in so many things. It's the power to see your forgiveness, his goodness, and his presence reigning and ruling in this world. It's the power of faith. Now you might think, well, what good is that kind of power? Faith is the ability to see a picture that gives you strength when others see people just see pieces. It's the picture of Jesus Christ on his throne, ruling in power over this broken world, forgiving people, especially you and me, with tremendous grace and working all things toward our good. And that picture gives you hope. This mess fits together. It gives you direction. Maybe we should connect things like this. It gives you peace. There is a plan to this chaos. I'm not saying that that power will help you avoid struggle or navigate your life in such a way that it's always amazing. Keep in mind how this king ascended his throne. We worship a king who made his way to his throne not by avoiding pain, but by embracing it in weakness and in shame. We have a king who made his way to his throne by dying at the hands of evil men, all the while having faith in the image of his Father, using our evil to forgive our sins, which it did, and to conquer our grave, which it has. We have a king whose path to his throne involved him exercising faith in the face of struggle, and so we should not be surprised when he asks the very same of us. And what might he ask of you? He might ask you as a citizen to serve, or to speak up, or to endure a Republican you don't like, or a Democrat you didn't vote for. But he promises that he will give you the power to keep your eyes on the top of the box, full of faith that he's the king, that we are loved, and that it's all going to be okay. And in a world of chaos and fear, that kind of confidence and clarity is attractive and mysterious, and it is powerful. Lastly, with Christ ascended as king, it brings a strangeness, a peculiarity to the lives of those who believe it. I mean, think about it. If you take this belief that Jesus Christ in flesh and blood has ascended to the throne and he is reigning and ruling right now through all the craziness that we see, if you press that belief into the corners of your life with all of the implications, it will change you in ways that make you stick out and seem kind of strange in this world. Think about it. Rare are those that embrace their role as a citizen of the world and what they see on the news every night with great attention. It's my calling to care. And great peace. God's got this. Rare are those who publicly apologize when they fail a higher standard, and who clearly but humbly step up and speak up when they see others fail it. That's strange. But we live in a strange time. And maybe at this strange time, when incivility is perceived as courage, maybe in this strange time, when a lack of outrage is equated to a lack of understanding, some peculiar people of peace, of higher principle, and of the power of faith are what the world needs. I'm a bit surprised that people aren't still making a big deal out of Ascension Day. And after all, we love things that reek of royalty. That's why back in 2011, like 23 million people rolled out of bed in the U.S. at 5 a.m. to watch Will and Kate get married. You know you did it. But not only that, it has profound and peaceful implications in our lives. The implication is this: yes, the world is crazy, but do not check out of it. Your king values it, and he's working through it. But don't obsess over it, or idolize it, or live in too much fear of it, because your king is in charge of it. And he's not just any king. He's a king who loves you, who lived for you, who died for you, who rose from your grave for you long before he ruled over you. And this king every day demands nothing from you, no taxes, no tariffs. He just rains endless amounts of mercy and grace and forgiveness on you. That is our king. May he give us peace, and may we live with power.
Hey, it's Matt. I hope you enjoyed What Matters Most. Here's what I need you to know. Life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I want to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. So for more content, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. That's Matt, P-O-P-O-V-I-T-S.com. There you can also support this ministry, as well as access your free resource, a little something to help you navigate the road ahead. I'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning. If you're in the Houston area, head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. In the meantime, hit me up on Instagram at mpopovitz or at facebook.com/mattpopovitzministries. Thanks for listening. Now go and hold tight to what matters most.